On Election Day 20 years ago, voters in New Jersey passed a referendum legalizing casino gambling in Atlantic City. When the first casinos opened their doors 2 years after that, residents of the impoverished South Jersey city were told to expect more jobs, lower taxes, better services, and increased opportunity. Atlantic City's economy has improved, but not everybody has benefited. Beyond the casinos, the city is still economically depressed. Now Atlantic City is on the brink of a second boom. Five new casinos are planned, as well as hotels, restaurants, and clubs. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports that all this is raising a whole new set of concerns among the city's residents.
A few blocks from the ocean boardwalk, giant construction cranes swing slowly in the fall sky above a skeletal steel frame of the city's newest 500-room hotel. A few yards away, workers put the finishing touches on Atlantic City's new $270 million convention center. These days in Atlantic City, construction abounds. Five new casino hotels are planned, what developers say will include whole cities of entertainment, with shops, restaurants, theaters, sports, and themed family recreation centers. To Visitors Bureau representative Noreen Bodman, the massive convention center represents more than just new growth. For her, it symbolizes a new era. Scanning the dusty construction site, she describes the city's plan for a new landscaped welcome walkway, stretching three blocks from the center to the boardwalk, complete with a 90-foot-tall fake lighthouse, blazing lights, and gardens.
And then at night, they'll do a laser light show bouncing off the lighthouse and the new convention center that gives you the excitement of Atlantic City with our headline entertainment and our shows and our 24-hour gaming. So we're trying to give you a welcome that says you've arrived, you're in Atlantic City, and these are all the things that we're about.
But in a city of 40,000 that until recently had no supermarket, some residents say outdoor laser lights represent misplaced spending priorities.
Donald Trump has shuffled the deck at three of his Atlantic City casinos. Roger Wagner, the president and chief operating officer at Trump's Castle Casino Resort.
These days, the politics of this budding casino revival often lead the local news. Once the seaside resort in the east, Atlantic City slowly became one of the eastern seaboard's poorest towns. As ease of travel and economic downturns lured tourists away, unemployment in winter months could push past 50%. Today, the city's official jobless rate is nearly three times the national average. Boarded-up homes dot many sections of the city. New Jersey State Senator Richard Cody, who helped draft the law to legalize gambling, says after 20 years, progress has been made.
Are there still problems in Atlantic City? Absolutely, positively, yes. But I get upset when I see national stories that there are still poor people in Atlantic City. I'll tell you what, they'd be a lot poorer if it weren't for casino gaming.
Gambling houses such as this Donald Trump casino were supposed to help revive the decaying city. Two decades ago, pro-casino ads featuring priests and rabbis tried to assure voters that gambling was moral as long as the proceeds helped the poor. Today, an 8% tax on gross casino revenue is earmarked to state programs for the disabled and elderly. Last year, more than $400 million in collected revenue was distributed statewide. Still, critics point out that in the two decades of gaming, locals were at times overlooked for jobs. Lucrative contracts went to companies outside the area, and some longtime local businesses were pushed under by large casinos. Gambling was a hard sell to New Jersey voters at first, and some lobbyists and advocates, experts remember, promised the world. Tourists and would-be gamblers catch an early breakfast at a local diner. Michael Pollack, an expert on Atlantic City, edits the newsletter Gaming Industry Observer. Pollack says from the start, there were simply inflated expectations that casinos could solve entrenched economic problems.
People who lived here, or who worked here, or who owned businesses here, thought and assumed that they had an automatic advantage, a distinct advantage, because they were here. That was an unrealistic expectation. It was unrealistic to expect the private sector to do it alone. It obviously needed dramatic and serious public sector planning and investments. That's the lesson that Atlantic City has eventually learned in the 1990s.
Framing much of the debate over Atlantic City's next 20 years is a controversial plan for a new tunnel and roadway that critics say will displace dozens of families and plow over a middle-class African-American neighborhood. The city's mayor, James Whalen, admits that during the first burst of casino development, mistakes were made and promises broken. This time, Whalen vows, things will be different.
One of the keys to this wave of development is to make certain that the neighborhood people are not left out, both in terms of making certain that neighborhood impacts, negative neighborhood impacts are minimized, and in terms of making certain that jobs and contracts and business opportunities are available to Atlantic City folks.
About 60 million Americans live within a day's drive of Atlantic City, which sits between Philadelphia and New York. With only 6 million annual visitors, Mayor Whalen sees huge, untapped markets. But with history in mind, many of those who make their home here are skeptical that those new markets will help them. Resident John Sewell.
Well, with the amount of money which flows into the city of Atlantic City, if in any other town, if you had a $4 billion industry, you'd have a virtually zero tax base for your residential real estate taxes. And what's killing the people of Atlantic City are the burdensome taxes. They've had five continuous years of real estate increases in taxes, and there's no reason for it. There have been millions of dollars poured into Atlantic City, and it's been squandered.
Despite tens of millions of dollars in casino property taxes rolling into city coffers, local property taxes have gone up. Critics say that's due to two things: careless spending priorities and state income tax cuts that they charge boosted local tax rates. Part of the skepticism is also rooted in the hard lessons of the 1980s. Then metal girders of promised new casinos rusted in the salt air breeze, constant reminders of junk bond-financed failures. The city's largest employer, developer Donald Trump, had several brushes with bankruptcy, and casino mogul Merv Griffin twice sought Chapter 11 protection. Some downtown small businesses folded.
I think that's a testimony to the quality of the speaker we have.
While the local Visitors Bureau heralds an Atlantic City renaissance, the new development has ignited a backlash. Community frustrations boiled over at a recent forum inside the old Oceanside Convention Center, which sits on the winding mile-long boardwalk. Local politicians sat uneasily in their seats as dozens of often angry residents took their turn at the microphone.
I want to tell you something. I urge all people to pick up petitions and run their public officials out of public office because they're not doing anything for us. All right? If they're allowed to build all over the place, they'll build all over you.
Others, like Karen Porter, whose family has run a market and liquor store here for three generations, voiced fear that her family's 100-year-old business will be swept away by a city that she says is too eager to please powerful casino interests.
Today, homes and businesses are threatened with the strong-arm tactic of eminent domain. This power was intended to be used sparingly and only when absolutely necessary. Piece by piece, Atlantic City's neighborhoods are disappearing for projects that primarily benefit the casino industry.
To direct traffic off the expressway into his planned $2 billion hotel and casino, Mirage Corporation developer Steve Wynn got New Jersey to agree to build him a road and tunnel. The city had already given Wynn, free of charge, 168 acres on a former dump to build on. Then local lawmakers ushered a bill through the state legislature to subsidize the landfill's cleanup. At the forum, many residents lashed out at the tunnel project's supporters.
Let me express deep and sincere outrage at our welfare costs. That is the corporate welfare costs. The plan for our tunnel builders. A tunnel through our neighborhood is disaster.
Vowing never to return, Wynn pulled out of Atlantic City in the late 80s, calling it the slum by the sea. Now that he's back, critics such as City Councilman Lorenzo Langford say his shovel shouldn't be coated with taxpayer money.
Steve Wynn and the Mirage people would have the public believe that, well, we've got to pay $55 million for a road, but who pays the other $300 million? We do, the taxpayers. They would say, well, we got to pay $35 million for the cleanup. But wait a minute. The taxpayers will pay $28 million of that cleanup. Mr. Wynn will only pay $7 million. So when you look at the fact that they're getting a $653 million piece of land, they're getting the taxpayers to pay another $300 million on road improvements and another $28 million on cleaning up the landfill. I mean, I don't think there's anything else that you can call it but a giveaway.
Mirage Corporation officials declined to talk with NPR about the tunnel. Many city and state officials, however, defend the plan, noting that it was crafted after public input, debate, and discussion. Bradford Smith is chairman of the New Jersey Casino Control Commission, which regulates the industry.
As far as the tunnel project goes, I mean, there was a task force that studied that entire situation. I went to some meetings where they showed the different alternatives that were looked at, and I was convinced that what is being proposed is the best and least disruptive alternative for the city.
Some in the neighborhood whose homes would be displaced by the tunnel strongly disagree, and they've rejected buyout offers. It's a community of modest, tidy homes whose owners like their lawns neatly raked and their streets quiet. Community activist Lillian Bryant relishes news that the Mirage Corporation's stock has fallen for a second straight day. It's a small, symbolic victory in what she calls her David and Goliath fight to stop the tunnel.
This is a raw deal. It's a nasty deal. Not only because it would affect so many homes in a community, but nasty and dirty because it is inherently vicious to propose to annihilate a town which you're supposed to be rebuilding. It would be a mechanism to devastate and destroy the most stable neighborhood, which happens to be the only African-American stable neighborhood left in the city of Atlantic City.
Bryant and her allies have filed a taxpayer's lawsuit against the city and state, charging that the tunnel plan is unconstitutional. For his part, Mayor Whalen insists the tunnel plan will largely preserve the area by redirecting traffic under the neighborhood. A city trying to grow, he argues, is bound to make some enemies.
We recognize that people are frustrated when their homes are threatened. You can't rebuild a city, any city, whether it's Atlantic City or anywhere else. You can't rebuild a city without doing these kinds of things. You use eminent domain when there's a public good. And clearly, in my judgment, if you don't do the tunnel, while you may not have to take anybody's home individually, the quality of life for the people in the rest of that neighborhood, the entire neighborhood, would really be destroyed because there'd be nonstop traffic on those streets. Gridlock.
Atlantic City inspired the board game Monopoly with its bundles of fake cash and risky moves. Like the game, the real Atlantic City has always been about carefully calculated risk and change. Often, the city's attempt to reinvent itself has promoted the newest casino. But residents such as Bryant are working to make sure this reinvention also promotes their neighborhoods, and they're willing to take on the casinos and politicians to see that it does. This is Eric Westervelt.